WCRI's festival series highlights one of our community's greatest musical traditions, the Newport Music Festival. Since 1969, the Newport Music Festival has hosted over 2,000 concerts in Rhode Island's most prestigious venues, while presenting world-renowned and emerging classical music artists from around the globe. The Newport Music Festival has left an indelible mark on our music history here in Rhode Island, as well as around the world. Now, here's host Mike Mano, along with the festival's executive director, Pamela Pantos.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to episode number 13 of our series on the Newport Music Festival's special summer series. And I'm here with Pamela Pantos. She is the executive director of the Newport Music Festival. And I'm Mike Mano, as most of you know. Tonight, Pamela, our listeners may have noticed that we usually concentrate on the music of a certain period or a specific composer. But tonight, I thought we would discuss both a program and a performer who is coming to the Newport Music Festival this summer. So let's go there.
Wonderful. What a great idea. So we're going to discuss the upcoming July 21st concert this summer in 2018 by Charlie Albright, who is one of the most incredible artists that I have ever had the honor of experiencing live.
Wow, that's something to say. There you
amazing.
Go.
He's one of those performers from whom the music emanates. Even if you know a piece well, it feels like you're hearing it for the first time, and truly as if it was being composed right then and there. His playing is absolutely transformative. You come in expecting to hear a piano recital, and you leave having been transported to a different time and place. I cannot say enough good things about Charlie. So we are very fortunate to have two individuals who are graciously sponsoring this concert and who are making it possible for Charlie Albright to appear at the festival this summer for our 50th anniversary season. So we would like to thank Dr. Austin Feeney and Ms. Virginia Gambale for their support and their sponsorship of this world-renowned artist. So when you hear Charlie's educational resume, I think it will become immediately apparent that this is an artist who is also a Renaissance man. Charlie Albright is an official Steinway artist. He received the Avery Fisher Career Grant in 2014, the Gilmer Young Artist Grant in 2010. He graduated from Harvard College with a bachelor's and the New England Conservatory of Music with a master's as the first classical pianist in the school's five-year bachelor's master's joint program.
Hmm. Okay.
And was named as one of the 15 most interesting seniors of the Harvard College class of 2011. So knowing Harvard for what it is, if he's one of the 15 most interesting, you can imagine who he really is. He also then graduated from the Juilliard School of Music with his postgraduate artist diploma in 2014.
Why not? Why not? Just keep going.
So Charlie was a child prodigy and won numerous international piano competitions. When he was still a teenager, for the first time, he appeared with cellist Yo-Yo Ma at the Harvard ceremony presenting the late Senator Ted Kennedy with an honorary doctorate degree. And at that ceremony was Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer, Senator John Kerry, and then Vice President-elect Joe Biden. So as his career developed quite quickly, Charlie was invited to give three all Schubert solo concerts at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in 2013, to which the Boston Musical Intelligencer, which writes excellent reviews, wrote that the 25-year-old pianist was unsurpassed and on top tier. The author continued by writing that it was gripping, frankly, both spellbinding and spellbound, quite unlike most such solo recitals I've heard over the decades. He then did a second Schubert cycle of concerts at the Isabella Stewart Gardner, and it was met with incredible praise, reviews saying that Albright is a born Schubert player. He has the requisite chops of a competition winner, but the beauty, the sensitivity, and the taste of a mature artist. His Schubert was ravishing, imaginative, poetic, full of poignancy and lyricism. His interpretation sounded spontaneous, but this was also heartfelt, mature playing. Everything had been thought out by a mind brimming with musical intelligence. So I thought we'd listen to the Schubert that Charlie will be performing at the festival this summer. He opens his debut solo recital with the Impromptus, Opus 90 by Schubert. Schubert was born in 1797 and died in 1828 at the very young age of 31. And he wrote these pieces just a year before he passed away, so we are going to be hearing a very mature Schubert in these pieces. And yet there's nothing really improvisational, even though the title Impromptu would lead us to believe that they were conceived as unprepared or unrehearsed pieces. There are four pieces in this opus number 90, and interestingly enough, the last two were not published for 30 years. So we knew of the first two, we knew of all of them, but people weren't able to access the music for a long time. So they were heard by the public long after Schubert's death, which is unbelievably tragic. So the four impromptus are, the first one is in C minor, the second one is in E flat major, the third one is in G flat major, and the last one is in A flat major. We are going to hear number four in A flat major, performed by Charlie Albright live. I chose this recording not only so that our listeners could hear Charlie play, but equally important, as an artist, he made the choice to release these live performances rather than to go into a studio. In a studio recording, as you know, Mike, we can perfect every note and every phrase and even auto-tune when we need it.
Right.
However, by recording these pieces live, clearly the artist is saying that if you want to listen to his interpretations, then do so as a live audience would, with all of the excitement of experiencing live music and all of its imperfections. So here is Charlie Albright playing Schubert's A-flat major impromptu, Opus 90.
We will listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more.
We are going to hear number four in A-flat major, performed by Charlie Albright live.
Thank you.
We are back with our special series on the Newport Music Festival. And Pamela Pantos is with me. I'm Mike Mano, and we're listening to some beautiful music. And Pamela, I want to pick up on something you said earlier. We were talking about this last piece we listened to, amazing as it is, and even more amazing, it's live, recorded live. And the difference in listening to a recording and actually being there is very difficult to explain to an audience. Now, someone who's on the radio all the time, I don't want people to stop listening to the radio and only go to live performances, obviously. But I'll have to tell you that I have a thing about live music. In my world of singing, I know that if I'm on stage and an audience is going crazy, and you know something has come out right, and they're cheering and they're clapping, there's nothing better than that feeling. And I also know that I could have an even better recording that I've done in the studio. And I know when people are at home listening to that recording, no one is standing up and no one is cheering. So it is a different feeling. It's a different way of looking at what we do as performers. And I know you know that very well. And I think you illustrated that perfectly with that last piece. So now let's go on with the program and tell us a little bit about your upcoming concert. It's just next week, right?
It is, this coming Friday. On January 26th at 7 p.m. at the Newport Art Museum, we have the incredible violinist Serena Huang, who just won the Almar Oliveira competition, and Robert Koenig, and they're doing a national tour. And we are thrilled that they're coming to visit us. Tickets are on sale right now, and this ticket, this $40 ticket, includes not only this incredible concert at the Art Museum, but you'll be able to wander the Art Museum, have a glass of wine beforehand if you like, and there's a wonderful spread, wonderful appetizers available before and during intermission for the audience. So it's really a complete experiential evening, and we're very excited to be able to offer this at this point in time.
Sounds great.
So the next piece on our program this evening that will be performed on July 21st, next summer, by Charlie Albright is the Concert Arabesque on the themes of the Blue Danube by Johann Strauss II. This is a true crowd pleaser, and Schulz Eveler transcribed these themes and created a piece which is as romantic as it gets. Unfortunately, given our short amount of time this evening, we're going to have to skip over this piece, but our listeners will be able to hear it live on July 21st this summer.
So buy a ticket and go.
Exactly. And tickets are going on sale in a week on January 29th. So people will be able to go online and buy their tickets for next summer.
Excellent.
The third piece on the program is Variations Opus 41 by living composer Nikolai Kapustin. When you hear this music, it feels as though the pianist is playing a jazz riff, and yet these works are truly composed pieces. Kapustin is revered by pianists throughout the world, even though he himself is a bit of recluse. He was born in 1939 in the eastern Ukraine. And he studied with Rubach, who was a pupil of Blumenfeld, who also taught Vladimir Horowitz. And they both studied together at the Moscow Conservatory. During the 50s, Kapustin acquired a reputation as a jazz pianist, an arranger, and a composer. So what you hear in his works is really the traditions of classical virtuoso, piano, and improvisational jazz merged together. So it's absolutely incredible. And he uses these jazz idioms in formal classical structures. So he regards himself as a composer rather than a jazz musician. And he said, I was never a jazz musician. I never tried to be a jazz pianist, but I had to do it because I'm a composer. And I'm not really interested in improvisation, which is the whole point of jazz. All of my improvisation is written, of course, and they become much better. There are many Russian and Japanese recording labels that have released recordings by the composer playing his own music. And he has been championed by a number of prominent pianists, including Steve Osborne, Marc-André Hamelin, and Ludmil Angelov. So now we have the unique pleasure of listening to Nikolai Kapustin himself play his Opus 41 Variations. Thank you. So in keeping with that jazz theme that we just had, the first half of Charlie's concert ends with what he calls an improvisation. This is a very unique experience for the audience. He asks members of the audience to shout out the names of notes. For example, C sharp, E flat, G, A. He takes them in the order in which they're proposed by the audience, four notes. He then sits down at the piano and stares at the keys for a few moments and then creates an improvisational piece based on the progression of those four notes.
Well, of course, it is.
A harmonic, melodic, and intellectual experience that leaves the audience breathless and in awe. And you get the sense that Charlie's actually having a lot of fun, but the rest of us are left speechless. And it's an experience not to be missed in this lifetime for a music lover. It's just incredible.
It's almost like watching a great magician. Yeah. How did he do that?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the first half of the program. The second half of the program is Modest Mussorgsky's Pictures at an Exhibition in its original form for solo piano. And a little bit of Newport Music Festival trivia, this piece was first played in year 12, 1980. It was composed in 1874, and a few years later, in 1922, Ravel created the orchestration that is also very beloved. Mussorgsky based this piece upon a real exhibition that was done in memory of his friend Victor Hartmann, where Hartmann's works were displayed after his untimely demise. The work was not published during the composer's lifetime, and the first correct publication of the work was not until 1931. The reason for this is alluded to in a letter that was written by Mussorgsky's relative, friend, and roommate, Goleshnishev Kutsov, who said, "There was no end to the enthusiasm shown by Mussorgsky's devotees. But many of Mussorgsky's friends, on the other hand, especially his comrade composers, were seriously puzzled, and listening to the novelty shook their heads in bewilderment. Naturally, Mussorgsky noticed their bewilderment and seemed to feel that he had gone too far." So the piece was not well received, and he just put this piece aside without even trying to publish them, and he then devoted himself to his opera. So, you know, really interesting that now it's one of the mainstays of our repertoire. So the Pictures at an Exhibition actually walks the audience through the experience of seeing the selection of paintings from this exhibition of Hartmann. And there's a little promenade in between some of them with the same melody, but it reflects a slightly different mood every time we hear it. So why don't we listen to three of these pieces and then we'll take a little break. We'll open with the promenade, and which is this little walk, as we said. The second piece is entitled Gnomus, based on a kind of painting that was a gnome nutcracker. Then there's another little promenade, and then we'll listen to The Old Castle. Hartmann created two paintings of French castles that were in this exhibition, and even though he attempted to make it seem French, it is undeniably Russian. So let's listen to these pieces performed by the incredible Byron Yanis.
And then we will take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you.
Welcome back to our program. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Pamela Pantos, listening to some absolutely beautiful music. And if you'd like more information about the Newport Music Festival series, you can go online to newportmusic.org. Pamela, let's pick up. I know we listened to quite a bit of music, and we didn't get everything we wanted to hear tonight, so let's skip ahead. Where are you going to pick it up?
Yes, unfortunately, we don't have time to listen to all of the movements of Mussorgsky's Pictures at an Exhibition. However, we will listen to the last two movements, namely The Hut on Hen's Legs, otherwise known as Baba Yaga. Hartmann sketched the clock of a bronze and an enamel in the shape of a hut of the Witch of Baba Yaga, and Mussorgsky concentrates not only on the clock, but on the child-eating Baba Yaga herself, who, according to Russian folk literature, lived deep in the woods in a hut on hen's legs, which allowed her to rotate and confront each approaching victim.
Wow.
Yes. And the last beautiful movement is the Great Gate of Kiev. Hartmann actually entered this design for a competition when they were building the gateway to Kiev, but it was ultimately called off for lack of funds. So he modeled his gait on the traditional headdress of Russian women. When people hear the entire Pictures at an Exhibition orchestrated, as we said, by Ravel, it's this last movement that really gains a great deal, with magnificent climaxes and pealing bells when you hear it with the full orchestra. But it is, of course, absolutely stunning here as well. So before we hear this music one more time, I would like to thank our sponsors, Dr. Austin Feeney and Ms. Virginia Gambale, for their generosity in allowing us to bring this brilliant musician, Charlie Albright, to the Newport Music Festival this summer. Here are those last two movements of Mussorgsky's Pictures at an Exhibition, played by the incredible Byron Yanis. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to WCRI's Festival Series featuring the Newport Music Festival. For more information on the festival, special seasonal concerts, to purchase tickets, or to donate, call 849-0700 or visit newportmusic.org.